Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
So I am in favor of this Rockets build and what they've done so far. We will see if there's anything else in store, whether they will supplement their roster or maybe they gain assets back. Maybe they trade Cam Whitmore for a pick. Not that it'd be a first or anything, but we'll see as they continue to try to build a champion. Well, a team that pushed the eventual champions to 7 continues to make moves. You talk about Cam Johnson going to the Nuggets and he being a better fit for them than Michael Porter Jr. They brought back Bruce Brown, who's part of their title team. And they also, and they also have just acquired Jonas Valanciunas for Dario Saric, a guy who was an ill fit there. And the Nuggets have had a problem at backup center for a while. Look, no one's Jokic, understood. But the drop from Jokic to DeAndre Jordan is a pretty steep one. Sometimes it wound up with them playing a non-center in that spot. Maybe Aaron Gordon had to take on those minutes. Sometimes they tried to lean on Zeke Nagy to see if he could fit. Well, Jonas Valanciunas is a legitimate backup center. And while the Rockets have strengthened that spot with Capella and, of course, Steven Adams, Jonas Valanciunas is a bit of a bully. And if we remember from those matchups with Şengün when he was in multiple spots, whether it be Sacramento or New Orleans, he would give it to Şengün. He's a strong dude. So the Nuggets, as much as we've seen this Rockets roster improve with KD, they still got the best player in the world. They've got a unit who's played together in deep playoff runs. You swap out Michael Porter Jr., who certainly has been a part of that and gave whatever he could. Look, as much as he felt like an ill fit at times, he went out there and played like Dana Brown would have wanted him to with that shoulder in the playoffs. He fought through it, had a pad on to play. Shout out to Dana Brown and wanting guys to fight through injury. He had a prime example there. So they swap him out for Cam Johnson, bring in Jonas Valanciunas. They are much better. They have Jokic, so how much better they can be. But they're better and deeper and a threat.
Yeah.
If they weren't already.
They strengthened a weakness. Like, they went from having no real playoff-quality backup center to now they have a playoff-quality backup center. Now, in the playoffs, like, Jonas Valanciunas is probably going to play, I don't know, 7 minutes a game, 8 minutes a game. Like, it's not going to be a huge role, but now you're just not asking Aaron Gordon to do that, or in a matchup like against the Rockets or against the Spurs, if they ever get there, we can actually just have two centers now. We can have a center on the court at all times. We're not asking Aaron Gordon to bump up to backup center, essentially. Like, you're just giving yourself more options. So, yeah, I think as good as the Rockets' free agency has been over the course of a day and a little bit more, I think the Nuggets are right there with them just as far as taking a look at what did them in. In the second round, where they, by the way, pushed the eventual champions to 7 games, despite only having sometimes only 5 playable players, where it's just like, either Russ has it tonight or he doesn't. Nope, he doesn't. All right. Or, MPJ is too hurt to play, or too hurt to play effectively. All right, I guess we're rolling with Russ today. So now they just have more options there. And, I think they are probably in the same, I would put them in the same tier as the Thunder, probably a tier ahead of the Rockets right now. TBD.
Currently, at least certainly going into this last couple of days before what the Nuggets did, were the second best odds to come out of the West. But if you told me we're lining up right now, Nuggets, Rockets, for a playoff series, considering all the experience the Nuggets have and what they've done to supplement their roster, I'm siding with those dudes, man.
I'm really siding with number 15, and they got enough clowns out of there.
Yeah.
Like they're surrounding them with competence, and so yeah, I'm rolling with Jokic in a hypothetical. You know, if they, like you said, play the game tomorrow.
Yeah, of course, chemistry. Playing an entire year together may turn the Rockets into something.
Injury, you just never know. Jamal Murray's been healthy for like two playoffs the last 5 years.
Yeah, and we just pointed out they had a member of their starting five, which was a team that wasn't deep anyway, have to play with the bum shoulder. And depending on how the Toradol kicked in or whatever he was using for the game to get through it, he would either be okay or pretty much playing with one arm. So injuries will always play a part. We've seen it happen, and that's why the East is so much in flux. The Rockets were able to avoid injury for the most part. Sure, Steven Adams couldn't play back-to-back, sorry, East and all that stuff, but for the most part, they didn't have any debilitating injuries, and they have added age to their mix, so it's very possible that they could get hit with it, because even if they stand pat, you've got Kevin Durant, you've got a DFS, you've got a Fred VanVleet. These are all 30-plus-year-old players. Steven Adams, of course, is another 30-plus-year-old player. So they haven't gone all in on age, but they've gotten older. And, of course, your most important player right now is a guy who has had to deal with injuries, although he's played quite a few games in the last couple of years. And, of course, the Suns kind of just it was probably an ankle injury, but they also shut him down because they weren't trying to win late in the year as well. So you just have to hope you get another year of health from Kevin Durant. And that could just simply mean playing 60 games plus, getting managed in the regular season, and then winding up ready to go in the postseason.
I mean, for most regular season nights, they got enough wings. They can cover Durant's minutes.
True.
They can cover his minutes. Now, can they cover his offensive creation? We'll see. That is the one, the one drawback. But I understand what they're doing of like, hey, we're just going to be so dominant at being big and having a bunch of defensive wings that, like, yeah, we're going to maybe struggle to score with really one high-level creator unless Şengün takes a step or Reed or Amin. But also, your guys aren't going to be able to create offense because we're just pulling guys off the bench of – oh my God, this guy, it's the Kawhi Leonard checking in and LeBron at the free throw line going, damn it.
Think of those
it's that for 48 minutes.
Think of those nights when KD sits out a game where you have, let's say, your lack of offensive output versus the other teams. Are we talking games? Well, the Rockets may score 100 plus because they turn you over so much to get out in the open court.
Fast break point.
Yeah, but
the half court offensive rating?
Yeah. If Fred's not knocking down threes, if it's not one of his nights.
All those people that want 90s basketball back.
The Rockets are here for you.
Rockets are here for you. I mean, even when KD's in, he takes mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, and we watched, at least we've seen the numbers come out about how overrated his lack of defense was. He wasn't as bad as you thought. That narrative was overrated. He was actually better than you thought, despite his age, and particularly earlier in the year before it all kind of fell apart for the Suns. So, look, their identity will remain. You just have a closer who can get you out of bad possessions by simply rising up and knocking down a jumper, which is pretty nice.
Do you think that Cam Whitmore going along this road?
Sure.
Do you think Cam Whitmore is going to be used as a chip to get a, I guess, more established offensive creator who probably still will just be the eighth or ninth man on this team, but it's a little bit more of a sure thing than Cam Whitmore? Like, can they get their own, I don't know, Colin Sexton or someone of that ilk? Not literally Colin Sexton. I think he already got traded. Or is it just like, future first round pick just to keep the powder
you
dry?
Get a future first round pick for Cam Whitmore?
Probably not.
At this point?
Future first. Probably a couple seconds.
There are guys out there. Look, at this point, logistically, I think it'll be tough to get yourself a rotation player who's currently on another team. But let's just say, for argument's sake, they think they're short a shooter. And while the Heat may be in their minds thinking, hey, we can get Damian Lillard for a couple years, he can rehab, and because it, but if that doesn't come to fruition, they have an open roster spot. They're looking to go young. A sign and trade that sends you a Duncan Robinson type here. I'm thinking about of that ilk. Shooting type of guy who maybe doesn't fit your Wings of Death lineup.
Yeah.
But
just like,
if you need an excess shooter for a low price.
Yeah. And you have enough defense to compensate for what.
Something like
Robinson
that, because he was a $20 million a year player. And then he declined to exercise his option, so he became a free agent. Now, who knows if there's any money out there for him to go play anyplace. He may be a guy who overestimated a potential sign and trade for him, or even a deal for the mid-level someplace. He's a guy, while the Rockets are making a lot of moves and they're going to have to trade a guy, if they're trading Cam Whitmore for a pick, I would look to even Duncan Robinson as a free agent to come in, who maybe overplayed his hand, and now you can get him on the cheap, and he can be another piece. He could be in a lineup where you have four, as the kids say, Sean, dogs defensively, and he can be your shooter, a guy you can't leave open, and he could create space for the likes of KD. So if you're needing to get rid of Cam Whitmore, which seems, according to the reports,
I don't
likely,
think they need to, but they seem to want to,
well,
for whatever reason. I think they may
feel like they need to just to for their peace of mind.
Yeah.
And his peace of mind as well. If you're trading him someplace and it creates an open roster spot, as long as you're also likely going to get rid of Lando, I will look to the free agent market for a shooter. And there's a guy out there who may be just happy to play someplace where he can win at this point.
Yeah. I think Robinson is in the fact of like he would be okay if he gets DMPs. Not like okay. Not like Bradley Beal okay with it,
sure.
But just he'll understand the role that he's playing.
Like if they're going to give him the money they're handing to Lando, like the $7.5-$8 million, whatever it might turn out to be, even if it's a 2-year deal, whatever, with the team option, player option, that might be the best he's going to get.
Yeah, I was thinking more just someone who can, it's more Reed Shepard insurance of like, or
isn't maybe, that Aaron Holiday?
Yeah, I guess I just want someone a little bit bigger, like more of a two-guard.
A bigger two-guard. Yeah. You can play a little D.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the defense. Same thing with Duncan Robinson. Like, if you're adding just offensive, like, stabilizer of, like, you know, what if Fred VanVleet sprains his ankles out for 2 weeks? Like, now what? Like, you just need, like, that kind of thing. That's why we didn't really talk about that much because by the time we did the show on Monday, it was already, like, DFS. Is the Lakers are bracing for Dorian Finney-Smith to go to the Rockets. I was like, I kind of prefer Nikhil Alexander-Walker just positionally. To me, they're very similar, like quality of players, just positionally. I would want a guard more than a wing. But I do understand that they're just, hey, what if it's all wings? What if it's all wings and centers that will dominate the glass? I can get down with that. It's just, you are an imbalanced team. It's just, I understand the imbalance.
Just an interesting time, man. They're one of the contenders for a title.
Anything but boring.
Yes, and they have flexibility as well. They're in a pretty good spot with a good coach and a good roster and a GM who understands kind of the landscape, and you could probably tell that from the moment they got Fred VanVleet back at the price they did. You got a guy who's sharp and knows what he's doing, and so far, you can't really criticize moves. Now you just see what's next. What are they going to do with Whitmore? What are they going to do with Lando? Can they get actual assets back, or are they simply maybe getting second-round swaps? You just never know. But either way, this roster's pretty set. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in on anything, if it's Rockets-related, NBA-related, or the NFL, because, Keith, there's a deal out there that you probably would be thrilled with, a retired player coming back to play and a tight end at that, Kelsey Plum's ex-husband. Until he catches another pass in the NFL, that's how I'm going to refer to him.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
We'll talk about that when we come back in a little bit. We're not going to deep dive, but it's just a name we know, and he's back in the league, and he comes out of retirement because the team really needed him at a spot. So we'll get to that and a couple other things before we wrap it up. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
There's a lot of movement, at least trade-wise, between two teams in the NFL. We had a multi-player trade in the NFL. Three players moved, a couple draft picks, and involve all pros, which rarely, if ever, happens. And there's some fallout. The Steelers get a Jalen Ramsey, and they're short on safety. And the Dolphins trade Jonnu Smith, so they're short on tight end, remain short on corner. But sometimes you do like the Bucks do. You think outside the box to fill a hole. And this player is retired, and let him explain to you why he did retire, and maybe you can guess who the player is, and if not, I'll certainly let you know. But this player is coming out of retirement thanks to a trade that happened yesterday.
I don't know if I've shared this with anybody, but I knew I was retiring when we played in Buffalo, the Giants we were playing there. It was a game where it was really controversial because one of the guys held me at the end. And they didn't call it. It was in the first quarter of the game. We were running like this counter lead running play, and I'm kind of like leading through the hole like I'm a fullback, and the play is working. But I sit down on the sideline after like a drive where we ran like three times, and I'm like, what the f*** am I doing with my life? I'm out here playing fullback. I don't even want to do this anymore. And I'm just like looking at the moon. It's like early first quarter, second quarter. Nobody else would really even know that I'm thinking this, but I'm on the sideline like, yep, I'm going to finish this year with the best of my ability, but I'm definitely done playing after this year. And that was the only time I played in Buffalo.
He's not done anymore. That is Darren Waller, as I said, the former husband of Kelsey Plum. He's back. The Dolphins called him out of the blue, I guess. And he said, you know what? I'd love to come down there and play. So they got a trade done with the Giants, and that's their answer for trading Jonnu Smith. If you're Darren Waller and you think you can change kind of your trajectory and play a year down there and then maybe turn it into something more if you still love football after, why not? Jonnu Smith made money down there. Tyreek Hill had the best couple years of his career until last year. He got an extension playing down there. So Darren Waller's next. Much like Nick Saban was like the rehab for coaches. Not that Tyreek's career was on a downturn when he got there, but hey, if you're looking to make some extra cash, maybe extend your career.
Put up some numbers,
go down to Miami. You're not going to win a lot of games, but maybe you'll put up numbers and get paid. So yeah. Darren Waller's the next guy to try.
Do you think Mike McDaniel was like, listen, we heard you on the podcast. We're not going to use you as a fullback. And not only that, yes, we do have to go at Buffalo this season.
Yes.
But it is in week three. So it's September. It is going to be at night, so, you know, might be a little nippy. But it's not going to be as bad as that Giants game where they ran you as a fullback in the freezing cold.
And look, they have a history. I mean, Ricky Williams, they retired. They pulled him out of retirement. He did pretty well. Now it's 2 decades since, but let's do it again.
Yeah.
See what Darren Waller has.
Let's bring a retired tight end out of retirement. Gronk? Nope.
He's a little bit too far into retirement. Yeah, a little too retired. They go with Darren Waller. So he was a talented player, but like he's 32 years old. Who knows? Does he even make it through training camp?
Yeah, or he could just be like a gadgety type of guy. Yeah. Where it's like here's our receiving tight end, and then we have our blocking tight end.
Sure, could be very much the case. And it's just a body. If maybe he just turns into a camp body, but a name from the past. Not too distant past, and back in football.
What, a swap of sevenths?
Yeah, I think
conditional?
It was a sixth going to the Giants, and the Giants sent the Dolphins a conditional seventh. So I guess okay. If Darren Waller makes a roster, plays well, I'm sure it could elevate. But Darren Waller, back in the league. We'll see what he has to offer. All right, Keith, I knew something like this would get you going. It's right in your wheelhouse. And maybe even got you a little warm in their special places because it's a retired tight end coming out to play football again.
All this Giannis talk,
yeah,
Kevin Durant.
Whatever. Yeah, waving Dame, whatever. But a retired tight end coming out to give it one more go, that's in Keith's wheelhouse. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the Darren Waller trade. Obviously, I wish him and Kelsey Plum would have worked out. You know, wish his rap career would have worked out. But my question is,
he did have that.
The Knicks are building some depth. You know, Jordan Clarkson's going to sign. We just got Yabusele. It sounds like Mike Brown's going to be the head coach. The East is imploding as we speak. Miles Turner and Halliburton off that starting lineup of a finals team. The Pacers have knocked out the Knicks 2 years in a row. This Knicks starting 10 or this Knicks starting 5 plus their next 5, this is a formidable team that could legitimately win the Eastern Conference and win the NBA Finals for the first time in over 50 years. What do you think?
I think they have a real shot to win the Eastern Conference.
I guarantee you the Pacers won't knock you out again.
Yeah. Feels if it happens, then pack the franchise up.
Fire Mike Brown.
If that happens.
Fire Don Staley.
Whoever it is. I don't think they would win the title. I think the Thunder, if they were there, would torture them so much defensively that you'd nearly have the entire roster in tears. I don't think they want any part of that Thunder's team in that setting at that intensity, trying to beat them in a finals.
They'd be in tears?
Near tears.
Carl Towns would be crying?
He's emotional. Josh Hart, maybe he wouldn't cry, but he would have all the indicators of crying.
It would be like when kids get so mad that they cry.
Yeah, it'd be that.
That's Josh Hart.
They would be in a spot where they would just be locked up from the moment. I don't think Jalen Brunson wants any taste of the Lou Dort, Alex Caruso sandwich.
I don't want any taste.
Particularly
of Lou
Dort. In the way they're allowed to defend. We were on the verge of that particular. Remember all the talk, the foul baiting finals we thought we were going to get?
Yeah.
Until the Pacers got in the way and gave us a really good series.
Stupid Pacers.
A great series, actually. I don't think of course the Knicks want to make the finals. Of course you do. But once they got there, they would regret it.
Yeah.
They would regret it.
Yeah. No, I was actually 100% on board with Keith. Maybe not as enthusiastic, but I was on board with what Keith was selling as far as winning the East. It's just like a good chance to win the finals. Yeah. Wouldn't quite do that. Even if it's not the Thunder, it's the Nuggets, who we thought just got way better,
yeah,
who were very close to being the Thunder last year. You know, this Rockets team.
The Rockets thing, I hear it, I think it, but it's tough for me to wrap my mind around it until I see them win a couple playoff series.
I'm just saying, like, if you just control, copy-paste them into the finals.
Yeah, I get the optimism. In fact, I'm with the optimism. I just need to see it.
Man.
I just need to see a couple playoff series wins.
The 94 rematch. NBC is...
back?
I don't know if NBC has
the finals, but they're back.
Yeah, they're back. They're excited.
Yeah.
They're like, can we get the Bulls good again? I imagine NBC just has not kept up with basketball since they lost the rights, so they're just like, all right, where's Pippen at, huh? Let's get this thing going.
They imagine Josh Giddey as...
We all love Karl Malone, right, guys? Ugh.
I think they...
NBC, we have to tell you something.
I think they're aware of the players who are no longer around, but maybe they just think it's perpetually the same teams, and they just imagine they're cutting up packages for Josh Giddey as we speak.
Yeah, what was the there's some stat about, I think there's 8 champions in the like 40 years that David Stern was the commissioner of the league,
and there are 8 since
there's Adam 9 Silver. In 12 years with Adam Silver,
and 8 in the, was it 7 in the last 7 or 8 in the last 8 right now?
I think it's so well since the Raptors, but there's been no repeats.
Yeah,
no repeat like a team's won it twice since the Raptors.
Yeah.
Not even consecutively.
Yeah.
Or I guess not since the Warriors, but the Raptors started that streak. They're probably just like, what? Wait, we have to think about all these other teams? Man, we had it. It was just Lakers. Towards the tail end, it was the Lakers and Spurs. We could deal with that. And it was Knicks, Bulls, Pacers. That's it. We didn't even look at flights to half these cities. Now we... Oh, my God.
Didn't have to worry about it. Now
Mike Tirico is going to be pissed.
Now times has changed. As you were talking, I was still trying to conceptualize the Rockets being in the finals. And
holding up the Larry over.
It's like great in theory for me. I just can't visualize it yet.
This is why the Giannis, like the possibility of Giannis being displeased with the Bucks offseason and then demanding a trade, saying he wants to come to the Rockets. And go, like, it would just be such whiplash to go from a year ago today, we're talking about the Core 7, somewhat ironically on this show, but at least, you know, we were on board with, this is a very young core who's going to build for a few years, year after year, to now it's like they're already in like light speed contention. And if it is a Giannis trade, not that we have any indication that it would be, but we touched on it where it'd be like, wow, just now it's just a Giannis Durant team. Just like that. Like, core seven's out. Now it's Giannis Durant and maybe one of, you know, maybe Reed or Amin. Like, that's just how fast it whiplashes. So, yeah, I'm with you that it is hard to, like, actually put the Rockets in that kind of discussion of, like, how would they match up in the finals against the team. But when you sit there and look at it, it's like, well, look at the other teams around basketball. Now it's only been one day of free agency, so a lot of chips still to fall. But to me, it is like Thunder, Nuggets, Rockets, Minnesota.
In the West, yeah.
And then everyone else is like a tier breakdown.
Yeah, the entire league. I said the West because I thought you were just talking about ranking the West teams. But yeah, the entire league.
Oh, I meant the West.
Okay, but even if you go.
Yeah, like, if you include the East, throw the Cavs in there, that's it.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
Can they, at this point, get out of the second round? Can Donovan Mitchell actually get out of the second round now that the path seems very, very clear?
God, but if they play the Magic, like, I might think the Magic beat them. Like, if the Magic are healthy and they're the four seed?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the East is going to be crazy. I don't even want to think about, like, could Philadelphia make the playoffs? Like, what is that going to be like?
Look, if they're healthy, which is a giant if, they should make the playoffs.
They have them better.
They should make the playoffs. We will see. When we come back, I have a quote on Yordan Alvarez from Dana Brown. Dana Brown, as Sean says, is always talking. He's talking again. He's got an injury update on Yordan, courtesy of Chandler Rome. So we'll get to that when we come back.
Olaleo Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olaleo.
So I attributed the quote to Chandler Rome. It's actually from Brian McTaggart regarding Yordan Alvarez from Dana Brown. If things go well, it could be next homestand. I haven't ruled out potentially flying him to L.A. at some point this weekend. There's always a trip on a flight to a road city. That's an outside chance. That's very optimistic. I don't think he needs much more time. I just want to make sure he feels his timing is right and his bat speed is there and feeling good with the hand. Those three things will be the indicators to say, okay, let's go. So we're in wait-and-see mode with Yordan, but he's getting ever closer. That's an update from Dana Brown yesterday, where, once again, it's just about how Yordan feels. That was the original approach until they found out he was hurt more than initial observation led on. So hopefully we're past the point where there's some ambiguity about whether he's hurt or just in discomfort and having to deal with pain. So maybe we're not that far away. You know what? I would treat it just like I treat the Jeremy Pena thing. If he needs to come back after the All-Star break, let him come back after the All-Star break. Are we rushing to get him back in play before we get to that point? I have no interest. And Yordan, from what we remember, was certainly trying to get back out there until he realized after taking cuts that the hand wasn't right. So hopefully, as I said, we're at a point where when he's taking those cuts, he's fine, but even still.
And when he played this season, because
he wasn't.
Remember, he played this season.
He did.
Yeah, he wasn't good. He was very below his standard and below basically anyone's standard of what a designated hitter should be doing out there. So I think that being as cautious as possible, because I think the line that they kind of have soft pedaled was that, you know, he was trying to play through it, and that's why he struggled so much. So now we're going to get him healthy. Now it's going to be the real, authentic Yordan Alvarez experience, which I hope they're right. But part of that is make sure that he's all the way healthy. Don't rush him out there, like you said, especially when you're so close to the All-Star break and getting basically a week off. I would just take that extra week with him and Pena, because you aren't at some crazy race for the division. You have a cushion to play with, and you played the Rockies. Now you do get the Dodgers, and then I think you play Cleveland and Texas. There might be another series somewhere in there, but I know it's Texas, the Rockies, and Cleveland, three teams that are all below 500. You should be able to at least stay afloat in this race without these guys. Maybe you drop a couple games on that cushion, but you're not in some dogfight.
Yeah, you got Colton Gordon going tonight, Hunter Brown the next night, and then Brandon Walter. A who's who? Well, at least the middle guy is. He could be your All-Star game pitcher if the rotation turns out to work out for him. He could be the guy on the mound as opposed to Tarik Skubal. Look, it's going to be Skubal unless he pitches that weekend before, and then maybe it's Hunter Brown. I don't know exactly because I'm not going to look that far ahead.
They probably don't even have it like the way.
Yeah, as I pull up the Astros schedule, they don't have the Saturdays and Sunday. They have up till Friday, and that's Fromber. If we go by what I'm looking at now, it would not be Hunter Brown that weekend. Actually, it would be. He would pitch on that Sunday ahead of All-Star weekends. The All-Star week. So yeah. if it goes that way, he probably wouldn't be available, just be able to show up to the game if he so chose. So, yeah, as you laid it out, the schedule is one where you're not skeered, as some might say. And that Dodger series is more about nostalgia than anything else. I get it. We hate them, but it doesn't mean that much to me in the regular season. It doesn't. It really doesn't at this point.
I mean, because they've played them so much in the regular season because they're both in the West, the National League and the American League West, that they get kind of paired up to play each other in the interleague matchup so much that, there is a little bit of like, I've seen them go back to Dodger Stadium.
It's not special.
I think every year.
To me anymore.
I think every single year, because they played them in the pandemic season,
and
too.
Particularly when you're the one up on them when it comes to winning something that matters. Like, if the Dodger fans still want to revel in any time they beat the Astros, that's cool. But when it comes down to it, the ring is in Houston. You didn't get it 2017. You got your fake one, and then you got a real one last year. Let me be fair. They did get a real one last year, I guess. But it's cool. It's the Dodgers. They're a historic franchise, and that's kind of where I leave it. I don't have any ill will.
And they're good. They're a team on your level.
Yeah, if you want to use it as a proving ground for yourself, they're playing a good team, and you want to do that whole World Series preview thing, fine. But as far as the acrimony from, what are we talking about now, 8 years ago, kind of over it.
Yeah, man.
It's a long time ago now, man. You want to hate Joe Kelly? Cool. I get it. There's a face to the hate, understood, and he doesn't mind riling up the Astros.
He wasn't even on the 27 or the 17 team either.
He just came back. He came
on the 2020 team
and taunted you in an appearance here in Houston. But the rest of those guys, am I supposed to fake like I hate Ohtani because he's wearing that uniform? I guess I could, but I'm not.
Yeah, we always talk about that there's two guys left from the 2017 team on the Astros. How many are there on the Dodgers? It's like Kershaw. I can't even think of a position player that was on the 2017 team on the Dodgers.
Yeah, I pulled up their roster right now.
Hernandez? They got Kike Hernandez back.
And Muncy joined them a year later, so he wasn't even on that team.
Yeah, it's like such a different, like they don't have Darvish anymore. They don't have Kenley Jansen just off the top of my head. Like the Kenta Maeda, they don't have him. Do they have Blake Treinen?
It's a turnover of 8 years. Of course they're not going to have many people, if anyone, left.
Blake Treinen.
That's just how it works. Was Will Smith on that team?
I don't think. No, because it was Grandal was the starter.
Yeah, he didn't get there until 19. Yeah. So it is what it is. Look, you hate them. You don't like them because they're wearing the uniform. Understood. We're never going to like the Colts, really. And that's kind of how I look at it now. You're wearing the opposing uniform. It's not because I think back to 2017. I got fond memories from 2017.
Yeah, I got one over on you guys.
Yeah. In fact, I like seeing those Dodger uniforms. It reminds me of the good times. The great time.
I guarantee you they'll run some B-roll of Marwin Gonzalez's home run in game two. Like, yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah. It's fine, particularly if it's a national broadcast. So, in fact, I can't say I love the Dodgers, but I like the memories.
Happy to see them.
Yeah. Hey, great memories when you guys. I remember back then it was, I think it was, obviously all the World Series at the time around Halloween, but game six, I believe, was Halloween night.
Yes.
And I made a joke about everyone who wants to be a family man. Oh, look at you now. You're going to miss the World Series game because you take all those kids out to get candy. I mean, they didn't win the game, so you wouldn't have missed much. Game seven, obviously, you do win. But, see, I remember. Good times. Now.
I remember watching game five in my friend's dorm. And by the way, that's how long ago it was. I watched game five of the World Series in a dorm room.
Sean is in his upper 20s. That's how long ago that was. He was still in college. But if you have retained the hate, more power to you. Yeah. I just don't have it in me. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got one more segment to go before we wrap it up. Of course, if you want to be like Keith or Eric and call in, that number is 713-780-3776. Paul Gallant after me, and then the Killer Bees after him. So get in before we close it out for the day. We'll be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the final segment here. So, Astros in Colorado. The expectation is, even with really one pitcher that you started the year with, at least expecting to be in the rotation, you expect to take at least two from that team. They're terrible. They've got 19 wins. We'll see if the Astros can take advantage of this soft part of the schedule. After a day off and taking 5 out of 6 from two contenders in the NL, you find the Rockies on the exact opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to baseball teams in that league. Awful. And get 2 out of 3. Let's not mess around. Let's take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies before we get to the Dodgers. All right, Jeff wants to talk about Lance McCullers, who was not good in his last outing. The only reason the Astros, well, at least partly the only reason the Astros didn't take 6 out of 6 was because Lance wasn't good on Saturday. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, Dale? I met you a couple weeks ago down there with Lance and John at the golf course here in downtown Albany on a Friday. Anyways, I just wanted to see what your opinion was Lance. I mean, he's had 2 or 3 great games against so-so teams, except for Pittsburgh, I think it was. He pitched good. And then he got shellacked in his other performance. I don't think it's an injury. I think it's more of a confidence thing. But I'm going to give him one more shot. I mean, he's pitching against the Dodgers, which, that in itself is, it's a tough deal. But if he doesn't pitch well after that, I think it's time for maybe go back to rehabbing or something. He just seems off. I just think it's a confidence thing. I want to see what you guys' opinions were.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Yeah, I remember you came out to East River 9. Thanks for stopping by and calling in today. As far as Lance, you look at his starts. There have been some good ones, as you referenced, and then you've had some terrible ones. Chicago, the latest, when he didn't get through 4 and gave up the 8 runs. Lance is a guy trying to work through some stuff, and I think changes to his routine are going to be a real problem. He has to find consistency someplace, and being able to pitch his turn over and over again will certainly help. So before his Chicago start, he pitched against the White Sox, the other Chicago team, back on June 10th. And, he went 5, gave up 4. Fine. It was fine for where he is in his return. Of course, the game before against Pittsburgh, he was really good. So he had a couple quality starts in a row. He pitched against the A's and was okay, was good. And then the 2 games against Chicago teams, he kind of dropped off. Is it confidence, or is it just a guy still trying to find a groove? I would lean more into that. And missing the time he didn't help. And can Lance find a rhythm where he's out there in his turn over and over again? Can he get like 5, 6, 7 starts in a row where he is healthy and go out there and pitch? I think the Astros are going to give him a bit of a leash, unless he's awful. Like, if he's awful, you got to make a move. But they don't really have a lot of answers, or at least a lot of options, I assume, unless there's another guy with two first names down there that in Sugar Land who's going to be next up, whether it be a Brandon Walter or Colton Gordon, whoever. If they have another one down there, okay. Yeah. Or maybe a Spencer Arrighetti's time, whenever he's back, as he works his way back. Then maybe Lance is just holding a spot for Arrighetti if he continues to hit this off and on stuff where he's pretty good in one outing and then pretty bad in another.
I do wonder if McCullers can be a bullpen arm at this point, because that's kind of been the talk with him, it basically in between him rehabbing, is I think it was Keith Law said he's a bullpen guy. Jeremy Booth comes on the Paul Gallant show every week or every couple weeks and says that he's a bullpen guy every couple weeks. So I do wonder if he could do that as the Astros pitching staff gets a little more healthy. The problem is, though, like you said, he's a guy with his injury history that I'm not sure can get up, warm up, pitch even one inning one day, and then be available the next day. Like, I just don't know if his body can respond to that, given that for 30 years he's been a pitcher. You know, like, he's been a pitcher his entire life. Yeah, he's been a
starting pitcher
his entire life. I don't know if he can pivot after all the arm issues that he's had, and now his toe issue.
You know, I remember back when he sat for an interview in the dugout after his initial return during spring training, and it was about, hey, I thought about giving up at times, certainly thought about retirement, and he fought through, and he kind of credited all the people in his life for getting him to this point. And it's been a rough go of it, considering the off-the-field stuff, not that he had any part in it, but just the threats to his family and then the injury that popped up here. So it may be just a year where Lance McCullers tries to find a rhythm. He's certainly got a pitch at a – he has to pitch well enough to stay in the rotation because, as I said, Arrighetti's making his way back, and he may be a potential replacement for him.
And then you got Javier
at
coming
some point,
probably a month after that. You got Luis Garcia theoretically. Like, you have all these guys that are theoretically getting healthier.
Yes.
So
maybe there's a month of Lance McCullers trying to figure it out before one of those guys who we've been waiting on comes back. I feel like Arrighetti's the most likely of them.
Arrighetti's the closest.
Yeah, because it was a broken bone as opposed to
Tommy John.
Yeah. So we're going to see Lance for a little bit more as long as he's healthy. We'll see what the performance is like.
I do kind of wonder, like, is he pitching to stay in the rotate? Like, is there a world where maybe not when Arrighetti comes back, but when these other guys come back, you look and you're like, no, I'd rather have Colton Gordon or Brandon Walter in this rotation than Lance McCullers.
Well, how many people believe that right now?
A lot of fans believe that.
Question is, what the Astros think of a potential move where, as a healthy player, Lance McCullers is now out of the rotation because they'd rather go with Brandon Walter or Colton Gordon. Something to be decided. Lance has some of it in his control. Go out there and pitch well, and then he'll remain in that rotation. Okay, we're done. Paul Gallant's up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Busy day of news around sports, so we reacted to it the best way we could. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Not particularly, sir. We'll talk to you tomorrow.